Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. This show is presented by Dr. Ben McMillan of the Neal Clinic, who's responsible for information and opinions expressed during the show.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got you.
Good morning. I am Dr. Charles Neal. I am the retired co-founder of the Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. With me today, special treat, Dr. Ellen Neal, the other retired co-founder of the Neal Clinic. Dr. Ben McMillan is out of town. He's at an educational seminar this week, so we've come to do the show. The owner is away, so the old Kairos get to play. Maybe we'll give away some stuff today. I mean, cool. What's he going to do if we tell him we just gave away a bunch of Neal Clinic ice packs or something?
Nice. So we're going to ask people to text questions to answer or what?
Oh, I don't know if we want to make it that difficult. But in any case, obviously we're going to talk about chiropractic today. But we've also made a list of health issues that many people, but especially people over 65, like us just barely, people over 65 ought to know about. Dr. Ellen has been a champion for keeping aging patients and especially women healthy and active and able to get out there and play and exercise. Dr. Ellen, you definitely don't encourage people to slow down and take it easy as they age. There are way too many opportunities now to be active, whether you want to play tennis or walk or exercise or travel and visit with the grandkids. Plus, you have been doing some research into women experiencing different heart attack symptoms than men, and I'm interested.
Well, let's refer to our genre as people of a certain age, because everyone is technically aging if we're alive. So, yeah, if time permits, I want to address the subtle signs of heart issues that both men and women can have. But I've primarily been wanting to do this show because, one, it's important. Two, February happens to be Heart Healthy Month, and it's still February technically, but primarily because most people think you retire because you had a heart attack. And everyone knows that old chiropractors never retire, voluntarily at least. So, a lot of people assume you had a heart attack and got a stent like many other heart patients do, but usually they go right back to work. You, however, did not. So we'll tell your story, too.
The real story. I guess we have to let it out eventually. No, actually, this month marks our first year of retirement from the Neal Clinic after 38 years and Dr. McMillan's first anniversary as the clinic doctor and clinic owner. So congrats to Dr. McMillan. But it's true. My retirement was not because of heart problems. Actually, my heart's real good. Good cholesterol, good blood supply, which is what a heart attack is when you lose blood supply to the heart muscles. No, I did something very different. If you ever hear of someone having a dissecting aneurysm in their aorta, you probably read it in their obituary, because when your aorta bursts, it's very fatal very quickly. In my case, my aorta came unwound but didn't burst. So while we were on a six-day vacation in Colorado, I had emergency open chest surgery. They grafted my aorta. We ended up staying there for 33 days and not having a whole lot of fun. Since then, I've had two additional surgeries for dissecting blood vessels and might need one more. So that was my challenging year. That was our challenging year. But Dr. Ellen and Dr. Ben did a great job of taking care of our patients who needed care, because, you know, back and neck pain and headaches and car accidents do not take a vacation. But 1 year ago, Dr. McMillan took over the clinic. He's been taking excellent care of our patients. And fortunately, chiropractors were legislated as essential workers. So when Dr. McMillan and our clinic staff, they were able to continue caring for patients during the lockdowns.
So the big question for listeners is, how does a robustly healthy and physically fit guy like you end up having to retire because of health issues? I mean, seriously, think about it. You've eaten a obnoxiously healthy diet for years, didn't eat red meat for 30 years, exercised regularly, have never smoked. So how did you end up having this debilitating heart-related issue?
An obnoxiously healthy diet, is there? She said that, didn't she? Okay.
She did. I really did. I love it.
Well.
That's a compliment.
I guess. I don't know. Anyway, the lesson here is that genetics can ruin things even when you stay healthy and exercise. And a great example, if your family has a history of diabetes, then you may have the gene for it. You then have to eat healthier and consume less sugar and less carbs than anyone you know, and you still might get diabetes later in life. And my family has a history of aneurysms. I was lucky to catch mine just before it blew up. And I'll tell you, it makes you realize what really is important in life, because living long enough to have time with people you love is probably at the top of the list for every single one of us. And if it means changing bad habits, like I need to quit smoking, I need to drop a little weight, or being open to some dietary changes or exercise, there's a double advantage in that, because it not only increases your chances for more lifetime, but also for better life quality. I don't know who said it, but I have used the quote before. These days we have more years of life, but less life in our years. I am grateful to have been in chiropractic all these years, because preventative health is our domain. And we spent a lot of time counseling with patients about how to stay healthy once we get them better. And for you guys listening, if you want to get more active, if you want to get in better shape, your chiropractor might be the key you need to stick with a new regime and a new way of thinking about things. I mean, everybody starts out with good intentions on January the 1st, but by the third week, that tour is usually over. Many times those good intentions got sidetracked by pain. And I mean not just sore muscles, but bad back pain or neck pain. It's a misaligned spine that's messing things up. It's physics. You know, if you have joints misaligned and they're moving badly, it'll knock you right back to square one, or worse than square one, because you can't do the activities you want to. Enter your good friend, the chiropractor. Dr. McMillan can oftentimes handle misalignments to get you through your injury quickly, and he'll coach you on how to exercise properly for your specific problem so you can keep going. I mean, it's part of his patient care protocol. He wants you stronger so you can stay well.
And I want you stronger so you're going to stay well. Because a really important part of your recovery had to do with how strong and healthy you were before this dissection happened. And I've heard you talk about people having reserves that help them fight off disease and injury. And basically, besides the grace of God and great surgeons, it was your fitness and overall excellent health beforehand is the reason why you're still here talking to me. You know, and I don't understand why exercise just gets such a bad rap.
Yeah, it does. I mean, a lot of times people are thinking this has to be miserable. This has to be a thing we have to do, like, you know, making your kid eat spinach.
Maybe we should call it play instead of exercise, and it would have more popularity, because the other thing is we think we have to do a lot of cardio to maintain a healthy heart, but you don't have to do the high-intensity, high-stress cardio workouts. Even a 30-minute walk 3 to 5 times a week is a great heart-healthy routine.
just start, do something.
Yeah, but for me, strength training is also important to maintain good overall health. And if we have time today, I do want to touch on that about women and weight training. But for now, if you do get inspired to exercise, it's important to get a baseline checkup. See your family doc before you start to ramp things up, especially if you are older or have a family history of heart disease. You know, any exercise video you pull up has that advice. And for good reason, because, well, even now with the casualties of COVID-19, the number one cause of death in this country is still heart attacks. And you mentioned that women's heart attack symptoms are different than men's, but men can also have some of the very subtle signs, so it's not just exclusive to women. You know, we've all seen the movie scenes where, like, a guy clutches his chest and falls to the ground.
Oh, it's the big one, Elizabeth.
Yeah, well, funny, funny, not funny.
No.
You know, in reality, a heart attack victim can easily be a woman, and the scene may not be that dramatic at all.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, in our clinic, in our years of practice, I sent 3 patients directly to the ER from our office because they came in and they had some vague complaints, you know, some heartburn or it's just tight in my upper back. One patient asked me if we could get him a Sprite
because
he had an upset stomach. So 3 times we saved someone's life by getting them to the hospital when they didn't recognize the early signs of a heart attack.
Yeah, and those 3 guys happened to all be men with the subtle signs that they were minimizing, thinking they had acid reflux, other minor stuff. Here's a quote from Nina Goldberg, the medical director for the Women's Health Center at New York University. So she says, although men and women might experience chest pressure that feels like an elephant sitting across their chest, women may experience a heart attack without chest pressure. Instead, they may have shortness of breath, pressure or pain in the lower chest, or even upper abdomen. They may have dizziness or just extreme fatigue. She relates that more than once a woman told her doctors, "I thought I had the flu," when she was in the hospital recovering from a heart attack.
Yeah, subtle signs like that.
Yeah, so it's not always one distinct sign, and the sign may be subtle, not the knocked you over kind of chest pain we usually think of, and it's these lesser symptoms that happen more often, they say, in women's heart attacks. But like the patients you've sent to the ER, they may show up in men. The takeaway is, if you have any of these signs, take it seriously, please. Rule out what's critical, get to a hospital right away. Even when the signs are subtle, the consequences can be deadly, especially if you don't get help right away.
Yeah, time. Time's a critical factor. And even though heart disease is the number one killer of women, people, in the United States, a lot of times they blame those symptoms on less serious conditions. I don't think I've got acid reflux or that's just the pains of normal aging. If you're worrying about it, let the hospital run an EKG and a blood test for you. It's just like we talk about a lot of time on the show, patients who are having minimal symptoms after an auto accident. It's what insurance is for, to make sure that this isn't going to go bad on you so you can be around to travel or play with the grandkids or whatever. And one other thought about any serious medical event, just practically speaking, if you're home alone, if you call 911, get to your front door and unlock it, because if you pass out before they get there, they don't have to kick down your door. They don't have to waste time getting to you. Dr. Ellen, you wanted to talk about some special considerations for women in exercise.
Oh, that was a quick segue. Yeah. No, that's an excellent point. If you're able to and you're having a medical emergency, unlock the front door, you know, bring your cell phone with you. If you got to lay down on the floor and wait there, there you go. So I was talking about the benefits of building muscle earlier, basically your heart being the particularly important muscle. But the side benefits of exercise are a lot more than that. For one thing, muscles help stoke your metabolism. So you'll actually use more energy even when you're resting, so you can sort of accidentally, on purpose, lose weight as you strengthen your muscles.
Oh, I accidentally lost some weight. Rats.
The other thing is that, and this is what's really important, stronger muscles create stronger bones. And this is really important to us women as we grow older and, unfortunately, more prone to osteopenia or osteoporosis.
Yeah.
So you, Dr. Neal, and Dr. McMillan have been talking about osteoporosis a lot and initially advocated walking as a preventative because it helps build bone strength. And walking is great for the hips, legs, lower spine. We get good bone density in that region with that exercise. This is the area that they test you for in this DEXA scan to see if you've got osteopenia or osteoporosis. And I can remember as a kid how common it was for women, older women, to break a hip before these tests were invented. So I'm glad we have them. But it's a lot more than that. I recently spoke with a hand surgeon, and he was saying, he was kind of joking around, but he said the best thing for osteoporosis is iron, but not to eat it, to lift it.
Yeah, no, lift it. Pick it up.
Yeah. Don't take the iron, lift the iron, as in weights, because exercise builds bones. So he tells us a story. He related a case of a young woman in a sedentary job. Now, she's young, but she works on a keyboard all day. And the bones of her hands and wrists were so fragile, it was difficult for him to repair a fracture, which, you know, is surprising in a young woman. Because computer work, and she didn't do a lot of other hobbies or activities, computer work just isn't enough hand and upper body exercise. Next case he brings up was a 60-year-old runner. So she fell and broke her arm. Same thing, upper body osteoporosis. Meanwhile, she thought she had great bone density because
she's a runner.
And her DEXA scans were great because she was jogging. And the testing is done on the hips and low back.
Yeah.
So she was shocked to learn the bones of her arm and wrist were so osteoporotic. And it was really a lesson to me, too, because I never really considered hands and fingers getting fragile like that. So his orders were that us women need to exercise all of our bones.
Only the ones you want to keep strong and keep from fracturing. Yeah.
So walking is great, but also use some weight for your upper body. Lift some iron, you know. If it maybe knead bread, play the piano, lift weights, groom your dog, massage your honey. This will help out postural imbalances all over your body, even your hands. Again, these are things that Dr. McMillan can help give you guidance about. He's well-versed in exercise for the young patients and a sage wise crowd too,
and it's important. And so, quick question then that just pops up as you're saying this: walking with maybe 2 or 3 pound hand weights, is, would you say that's good for building the muscle?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh,
so
screw you.
So you know, for years I avoided doing upper body workouts because they always said that you would. We were told to tone rather than create manly arms. But sorry, ladies, most of us just don't have enough testosterone to beef up, even if we want to.
Yeah.
For women as well as men, strong upper body strength helps prevent so many injuries to our shoulders, our elbows, our wrists, even our necks, our lower back. When you think of the daily activities that we have, we're required to haul stuff. You know, whether it's your legal briefs, it's your groceries, your luggage, babies, laundry, putting stuff overhead, strong arms, shoulders, and upper back muscles are absolutely paramount to good health. It'll keep you out of your orthopedist's office and out of the chiropractor's office for acute injuries that happen because it was weak. So
yeah, you gotta start light. Jenna tells us we had a phone question calling in.
Hey there, welcome to the Spine Line. Good morning. Where are you calling from?
Hi, is this for Jason?
This is Dr. We have Dr. Neil and Dr. Ellen here today.
I'm guessing you didn't want to be live on the radio in front of millions of people.
Now, hello? Can you hear me?
No. Okay. Yes. Thanks for calling, but no, Jason is somewhere else. He's all right. Well, you know what? While we got a minute, though, let's give away some stuff.
Oh, cool.
The clinic is closed. Like I said when we opened up here, Dr. McMillan is out of town. He's at a continuing educational seminar, getting even smarter than he already is. But while he's away, I can give away stuff.
There you go.
I tell you what, the clinic is closed. Next three people who call the clinic, leave your first name and phone number on the message. And they will call you back, and they will give you one of the really nice Neil Clinic ice packs that we were talking about last week. So call the clinic. 479-SPINE is one digit too many, but you will figure it out. 479-SPINE. Call the clinic. Leave a message on the phone machine. Say, Dr. Neil said I could have a free ice pack. Call me back. And it's the first three people that call. They'll give you one. So I'm sorry. Where were you? Oh, talking about weights that you don't have to be at the gym pumping heavy iron.
Right. You know, starting with light weights. What you asked earlier was, should you walk with light weights? Well, starting with light weights is important, but I don't like to see senior women be afraid of pumping it up. And you don't have to go to the gym to lift weights with dumbbells or barbells, but you can use body weight or exercise bands. What I think is important is getting guidance about proper form, ways to get stronger carefully and without injury.
Without injury, yeah, because you and I have seen it 100 times. Someone comes in and tells us in consultation they want to exercise. They know how important it is to exercise, use it or lose it. But every time they start an exercise program, they get a breakdown. You know, something goes out in their back or their neck. They start getting headaches. Something happens that makes them have to quit exercising until it heals. And that's a bad cycle. And Dr. McMillan and I talked about it some last week. Every professional sports team has a team chiropractor.
Yeah. You were team chiropractor for the Pensacola Ice Pilots hockey team, like the first 4 years they were in Pensacola.
Yes, yeah, but before they became the Ice Flyers, even at the semi-pro levels, they know that they're more prone to injury without chiropractic. They know they heal faster when everything's moving properly without jamming up their joints. And Dr. McMillan treats lots of young and very healthy patients who simply just they want to stay in shape and perform better at their sport. And it's usually not professional level sports. These are people who like to play golf or like to do beach volleyball. He's big on the beach volleyball team. And it's just simple physiology. When joints move wrong, you can't play your sport. You can't exercise worth a darn. You need a chiropractor. And we have treated hundreds of joggers and golfers and, you know, not professionals. They like what they do. A couple of pickleball players. I have to confess I've never seen pickleball played. But it's exercise, and people like to play it, so they get their chiropractic tune-up once a month or so. They can keep playing.
Yeah, we need to investigate pickleball. A lot of our patients just really loved
They did.
So, yeah, a lot of the spinal issues, degenerative joint disease, degenerating discs, even spurs are due to postural imbalance. And what do we mean by that, or weakness? You know, you might have weakness in the muscles supporting your movement. Often some muscles are overdeveloped relative to others that are weak. That's not your fault. It's not something you've done wrong. It's something in your structure, and you need realignment. And your muscles need re-education.
Re-educating the muscles, yeah. Because, I mean, the weakness you're talking about, it's not like paralyzed, it's a subtle weakness. It throws you off balance. It's not the big old heavily muscled guy. It's Joe Golfer, who knows he could do better. Anyway, we got to go. Neil Clinic on Creighton Road, just across from Walmart. Give the clinic a call, 479-SPINE, and we'll talk more next week.